Now, Steve, I didn't realise that you were working for George Bush Jr. here on the Campaign 2000. You've come across from the United States to talk about Campaign 2000.
No, that's the American presidential campaign you're talking about. That's Campaign 2000 of theirs, right? That's their campaign 2000.
So what are you talking about?
Our Campaign 2000 is a campaign that's been going... going through delegates meetings, mass meetings.
Hang on. What's all this garbage, delegates, mass meetings? What is the campaign?
Campaign 2000 has been, what is it? Basically, what it is, right? It's designed to get rid of the EBA. It's designed to replace the enterprise bargaining agreements.
Right. So a lot of our listeners aren't familiar with the jargon. What's an enterprise bargaining agreement?
An enterprise bargaining agreement is an agreement between a collective agreement between a union.
Right.
In a workshop, mm-hmm. and the employer. Right.
Right.
That's ratified by the Industrial Relations Commission.
Right. Okay. And there's laws. Regarding the time you can go on strike and all
this that's
garbage.
Right. There's all sorts of
every 3 to 4 years each unionised shop.
It depends. 2, 3, 4 years.
Yeah, go through this Mickey Mouse process to get an agreement. You can't strike during the period of the agreement once the agreement is signed.
You can take industrial action at some time during the negotiation period, I believe. Right.
Right.
So
what's the Campaign 2000 then?
Campaign 2000 is designed to turf that.
Right.
You know, because
and who's behind the Campaign 2000?
Well, Campaign 2000 has been sort of put together by the Metal Trades Federation of Unions. It's a conglomerate of unions, right, ranging from the Australian Manufacturing Workers Union, the Australian Workers Union, the Hospitality Union, the Firemen's Union.
So it's a number of unions.
Yes.
And they're unhappy with the enterprise bargaining agreement process.
Well, they saw that it just caused... Obviously, they just saw it had caused more problems than what it was worth, you know? Like, because every time factories or workshops or whatever would individually sort of sit down with their employer, you know, more times than not, there'd be strife. Like, for instance, I went out to Box Hill the other day to the ACI picket line out there.
ACI, that's a good corporate citizen, aren't they?
Well, they've got a good track record lately, in the last few years.
So there's a picket line. What's the picket line about?
The picket line's about the enterprise bargaining agreement. It was supposed to be finalised last March.
Last
March, 1999.
Right.
Right, and they spent the best part of 9 months trying to get it together. Trying to get it ratified and everything, and what the employers seem to have wanted, this is what I got from the workers on the picket line. Well, I would say good morning to them down there. They said they'd be listening. Said say hello to them. Sarah and I went down there the other day just to check it out, to talk to them and find out what was going on. You know, because
so they've been locked out, have they?
Yes,
they've been locked out by ACI. Regarding negotiations that have been going since March.
Yes.
Now, obviously, they're not being paid.
Not being paid.
So how long have they been locked out for?
They've been locked out since the first lockout was on the 16th of December last year.
Right.
And then they went back to work for a day in between that. And then they went back. Then they got locked out from the 29th of December. They've been locked out permanently from the 29th of December. Yeah, the second time police permitted them to stay in the factory for overnight, and then they get out, you know, and ask them to go the next day.
So what's the specific dispute there
about?
Well,
the bosses, apparently the employers, this is what I heard down the picket line, the employers wanted to get rid of various aspects of working arrangements there, like... where workers can work over in another area. What do they call it? Demarcation dispute,
right?
Demarcation. Now the workers. Now apparently, I was talking to this one of the shop stewards, and he was saying, "Look, that's fine if they go through a process what we've got, throughout the state called competency standards. If they match them up with the competency standards and pay people for actually the worth of the work that they do,
right?
Then that would be okay, but
no labour on the cheap. what the company wanted to do was get unskilled or semi-skilled labour to do work they couldn't do.
Yeah, people doing, you know, and train them up a little bit and then pay them a little bit maybe and then pay them...
Less than the
pay them
rate.
Less than what a boilermaker or a fitter and turner or whatever.
Right, so these people have been locked out, and obviously if they go on strike, we hear about the courts saying naughty, naughty and fining people.
Yep.
What's happened to the ACA? Have they been fined or brought up before the courts for locking these workers out?
No, it's still going to the... It's still... That's got to... I think their lockout arrangement finishes on the 30th of January.
Right.
That's...
So the company can legally... lock these people out, withdraw their pay and starve them back to work.
No holiday pay,
And starve them back to work.
That's
enterprise bargaining agreement
that's right.
So this is the fallacy of the enterprise bargaining agreement, isn't it? I assume that's why the Federation of Metal Trade Unions are against it, is because if you're involved in a small shop, which is only partially unionised, you could never negotiate enterprise bargaining agreement.
No.
So if you're in a large shop, which is heavily unionised,
you've got a good chance.
You've got a good chance
of getting some through. Getting something.
So although everybody's a member of the same unions, not all workers are not receiving the same pay or conditions. So smaller shops are just basically paying the minimum wage.
Well, that's how possibly it would work.
And no wonder people would be very angry about, especially if you're a union member and you paid your dues.
And you want representation, and you want to see some results. You don't expect the world, you know.
That's right, because most shops, metalwork shops, aren't huge, are they?
No, there's very few of them.
So obviously
there'd be some.
Yeah, so
the majority would be small arrangements.
So obviously this is a way of disenfranchising hundreds of thousands of workers in this state, in this country. The enterprise bargaining agreement. It's good for something that's heavily unionised, but if it's not heavily unionised and you're unionised and you're paying your dues, or if you're involved in a particular, in a small firm, well, you're out of it. And as most of them are small firms, you find that most people. So that's good to see the trade unions are going back to basics.
Yeah,
they're there to look after the interests.
That's what it's all about.
Interests of all their members. So how did this come about? Is it what's through shop meetings, delegates meetings?
Yes, that's right. When we had the election a few years ago, one of the mandates, I guess you'd call it, using a federal political term that John Howard likes to use.
Was to go back to basics.
Get rid of the EBAs, because obviously there's a lot of disputes come out of these EBAs, and the unions just thought, well, this is no good. This is not working.
Well, it's crazy. It's not just the disputes that come out of it. It's the fact that most workers are getting nothing out of the EBA.
Right.
And obviously Peter Reef and Johnny Howard organised this system in order to break down the power, the collective power of people collectively bargaining.
I think this come out of Hawke's and Keating's Accords. But, and it's just been, and when Reef got in, he must have, said, beauty, we'll sort this one.
I mean, you've got people involved in never-ending disputes, never-ending shops, and you've never got any collective muscle being applied to employers.
So, if that came out of that, then this is what people have wanted. This is obviously what people want. And it's up to the memberships of these unions too to get behind the campaigns and actually.
So what's the campaign involve?
The campaign involves basically protection of strengthening the award and protection of the award. It's also based around if Peter Reith's second wave of industrial legislation gets through. Mm. Well, this is a way for sharpens our sword a little bit, right?
So this is more involving direct action, or is it more involving court action, this particular campaign? How can rank and file members get behind the campaign if they believe it's in their best interests?
Well, I suppose what they've got to do is to get informed first and be educated first, right? That's the first thing they've got to do, is to be educated about what the campaigns are about. And to basically, when their shop stewards go off to delegates meetings, right, the shop stewards vote on things, and they've got to take it back and they've got to listen to their shop stewards and whatever it is that comes out of this, they've got to discuss it, and they've got to be informed about it. I mean, that's really, I think, where it's all at. The people have got to be informed and know what it's all about, right?
Yeah, because obviously that's without rank and file support, it's just be another one of these campaigns.
You know, I can say a lot of things that probably wouldn't be true, but really the big thing is for the membership to be informed, to know what's going on, so they can sort of say, look, you know, well, we don't agree with this aspect, or we like this aspect, or whatever, and the shop stewards can take that feedback back to, you know, their delegates' meetings.
But the bottom line, it's that every person in a particular industry doing a particular work, irrespective of whether they work in a small shop or a big shop, should take home the same pay and have the same conditions, and that you shouldn't be penalised for, one, belonging to a union, or two, working in a smaller shop. I mean, that's the basis, isn't it?
Yeah,
one for all and all for one. And obviously, people who've got sweetheart enterprise bargaining agreements, and there are some of them around, obviously are actually sacrificing some of their gains in order to help the rest of their members, aren't they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, well, Steve, have you got any phone numbers for people to contact, or it's just basically contacting their local unions and finding out whether they're involved?
Contacting your local unions if you're members of the Metal Workers Union, the Australian Workers Union, the Electrical Trade Union, you know, so on and so forth, all the unions that are in it, the Australian Surface Union, National Union of Workers, the Liquor and Hospitality Miscellaneous Workers Union, or the Federated Engine Drivers and Firemen's Association, you can contact your union and
Find out.
I mean, a whole ream of stuff here I can sort of, you know...
Yeah. But what you say is it's going to be a rank-and-file campaign, and it's to make sure that everybody gets the same at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Who does the same type of work gets the same pay at the end of the day and the same conditions, and people aren't set against each other. We don't have all this garbage that's been going on at the present time. It must be a feast for the lawyers. It must be costing the unions hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars in legal fees, all these enterprise bargaining
agreements. Oh, sure.
Well, at least they're happy. At least somebody's happy out of all this.
Well, somebody, that lawyer always makes
it. And just one last question before we get you to revert back to panel operation mode, Steve. How about the ACTU? This is kind of going against ACTU policy, isn't it? They're all about enterprise bargaining agreements and accords. What are they doing about all this? Seeing all these renegade unions running off on this campaign 2000?
Well, as far as the ACTU goes, if they get up and if they dare to get up and speak against it, which I don't think they would, then they'd be quickly put in their place.
Exactly. Okay, well, thank you very much, Steve, for letting people know about Campaign 2000.